Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Happy Mother's Day! This is just a really quick note. I'm editing this in to say there are many swear words, F words, F bombs coming up shortly. So if you have kids, I don't normally swear this much, but there's some swearing. It's in the context of laughter, but I just thought I should give you a heads up if you have kids around and you don't want them to hear all of that. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 323 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and all that good shit. And you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode, back on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, 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 friends, to the Saturn's Day Evening Post number 20. I now shall present you with Exhibit A in the case of, does Joanna have a life outside this podcast? Yes! Yes, she does, and she has friends! I can only prove one of them to you today. She has friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Exhibit A, Queen Amber of Glendale! Yay!
Hello!
Welcome to the podcast!
Thank you so much!
I have to say, too, this is something I've never done before. Amber is my friend. She is a kick-ass witchy mama. She has nothing to promote to you. This is not an interview. We were just having a text conversation one day, and I peer pressured her into being my co-host. And
here I am.
And it happened, and here we are. I want you guys to meet her anyway, because every single time that I'm hanging out with her, which is not frequent, but we go deep fast. Our hangouts are very
super fast,
right?
Yeah, every single time.
Yeah, like it was like that when we met. I feel like mm-hmm. We were just like, you know, you meet
immediately down the rabbit hole together.
Yes, like
it was
you just
insanely awesome.
I wish that happened more often. I guess it's special because it doesn't happen that often.
I think it would happen every single time, even if it was often.
Oh, I just mean with other people. I mean, like,
I
feel like it's like once a decade I meet somebody yeah. where I'm just mm-hmm. like instant, like, I love you. You're mine.
And this is it.
You're mine.
Here yeah. we go on our adventure.
Yes. I met my friend Marlene in the gym in my 20s, and we had like a moment like that. I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing her in the gym and thinking, like, I don't know why, but I know I'm going to be friends with that woman. And then
I love that feeling.
Isn't it a good
I know
feeling?
That feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I need to get out more. Maybe people listening are like, once a decade, what the hell, lady?
No, I do. I think it's rare for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I can't be friends with people, but where you just meet somebody and you're like, I know who you are. I feel like
that
I know who you are.
That instant click. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought we could warm up by me reenacting the text conversation that led to this moment.
That sounds fabulous. I'm probably just going to laugh the whole time.
Okay, so out of the friggin' blue, Amber starts a conversation with me like this. Why, in all caps, why is licorice in every tea blend?
Every tea.
Every tea. And it was her birthday shortly before this text thread started. And I got her this kick-ass mug. I think it's kick-ass. It's a travel mug from Starbucks.
It lives with me.
I love it. I have my own. I got my kid and I, we each got one for Christmas one year, and we use them all the time. They're so cool. They're like these ceramic travel mugs, and they're, there was one I wanted. It has like a blue hand on it doing a P, it looks like a peace symbol, but it's actually spelling out L-A, and it's pink, And it looks like girly punk rock. And I was like, I kept picking it up and like, I want this, but that's silly. I don't need this. And I already have one I love. I want this, but that's silly. I don't need one. Like, I went back and forth with it. And then I was like, Amber's birthday is coming up. Amber's birthday is coming up. So I got that. And I'm like, and I need tea to go with it. Because you can't give a birthday present of a tea mug without tea. So I
No, you cannot.
I just asked you, what do you love? What do you hate? And somehow we got on the subject of that licorice sucks ass, and they put it in so many things. And then however many weeks later, I just get this text, why is licorice in every tea blend?
I bought yet another tea, and I didn't see that it was in the ingredients.
Right. Yes.
And I got it home, and I started drinking it, and I was like, I just want my sleepy tea without this nasty flavor in my mouth.
I know. So here's the, I'm going to do the rest of the conversation because I love it. So my answer to why is licorice in every tea blend was right. Hashtag the licorice conspiracy. And then you wrote, get it out. I accidentally bought one. I thought I had read it all. And then myself, oh, I do hear that. Amber's in her car, by the way, people.
That was gnarly. Sorry about that.
It was like a drive-by car fart in the middle of our conversation.
I was drag racing next to me.
Okay, so back to the tea. I said, yes. I feel like I'm a tea-drinking ninja expert, and still, I do it all the time. They sneak it into the ingredient list. For flavors you would never think to find it in. It is definitely a conspiracy, and puka is the worst. That shit is expensive, and the boxes are irresistibly gorgeous, and they sneak it into the most unsuspecting flavors. And then you wrote, and also, just before we came on here, I have to say, we had a little debate about, is it puka or puka? I'm going to say puka, because puka makes me laugh. It's spelled P.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Okay, so let's say puka, but it could be puka. So Amber says, I want to go to every tea section with post-it notes saying, beware, contains fucking licorice. And then you acknowledge that you had bought the puka. So yep. In answer to the post-it notes of beware, contains licorice, I said, you are a good citizen. Fuck puka. That's going to be my new t-shirt logo. And you said, fluffy bunners hate puka. Fuck them and their gorgeous fairy packaging. And we went on and on and on. I'll just end by saying that is my new t-shirt subtitle. Fuck puka. Fuck them and their gorgeous fairy packaging.
God damn you and your fairy packaging.
Just, I hope everybody knows what we're talking about. There's this tea brand that you can get at Whole Foods and other places, but Whole Foods has a giant display of it, and every box is a wonder. It's so pretty, and it's expensive, too, which really just heightens the swear words once you realize there's licorice in it. If you don't like licorice is so domineering. Like, it's...
Yeah, it takes over.
Yes, and this brand, you also corrected me at some point in that thread. I was spelling it P-U-K-A, and there's two Ks.
They have to be special, apparently.
P-U-K-K-A. I don't know what is puka? Puka.
I don't know.
Doesn't it kind of sound like a Spanish swear word when you say puka, though?
I think I'm going to start using that in front of the kids. Oh, puka.
Tanner loves to almost swear. Lately, he's been telling me to fudge off.
Oh, my God.
And I'm, like, weirdly proud of it. My kid just told me to fudge off.
Oh, my goodness.
The first time he did it, he did not have very much language at that point.
Uh-huh.
And he's in the back seat saying, peach, but he was saying it like bitch, but he was saying peach, and I was like, what did I just hear? And he's like giggling to himself and practicing, and I'm like, you can't say that. And I'm like telling my kid he can't say the word peach because of the tone he's saying it in, you know, like
bit.
Yeah. I can go way down the wormhole of bad words, too, because it's very weird which words get selected for that.
It's so true. It's just a combination of sounds, but we give it so much weight.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I got in big, bad trouble when I was a kid. We couldn't say anything worse. Dang was a swear word. We weren't allowed to say dang, and we weren't allowed to say butt, as in my ass. We couldn't say butt or dang.
So, what did you have to say instead?
Bottom. Hi, I'm two. This is my bottom. And the best, my cousin April. I other people say this. I've never heard it before, but I cannot say it without snorting, probably.
Okay.
Front butt.
I say that.
Why? Oh my god, it's like the funniest thing in the world. I feel like they might say it over in the UK. I mentioned it at some point and people were like, yes, front butt is a thing.
I'm referring to something else when I say that, though. I am referring to my mama pooch.
Front butt. Oh wait, you're not talking about the vagina area?
I am not. I am talking about my mama pooch.
What is your mama pooch? I already know, but I just want you to say it.
I have a bit of stomach area from having three children where it's a little bit flabby, and I call it my front butt.
Oh my god, that is so funny to me. Happy Mother's Day!
To all the mamas and their front butts.
I have to say, Amber has the cutest figure, just to let you know.
Aww,
even though
thank
she's
you.
Picking on herself. It's like a shocking figure. It's like you notice it when she walks by. Like you.
Why, thank you, my dear.
Yes. And I've had Mama Wolf in my head all weekend so far, because Mother's Day is coming up, so. Hey, Mama Wolf. I love that.
Are you doing something special for Mother's Day?
We're going to Home, which is a restaurant in Silver Lake that Tanner calls Homes. But since I have nobody to do Mother's Day for me, I have to do it for myself.
Yes.
So we're going to Homes.
Awesome.
And when I told my mom that, she sent me $40. So somebody else was doing something nice for me for Mother's Day. My mommy is paying for my Mother's Day brunch.
How beautiful.
You have a lot of people. Do you know what happened? I felt like such a jerk. I saw the Isle of Dogs, the movie Isle of Dogs. Mm-hmm. And I was super in love with it and so excited. Your husband is a graphic designer. And so I'm texting you, like, you have to see Isle of Dogs. And then I'm texting, you and Lee have to see Isle of Dogs. And I'm like, actually, your kids would love it. You all have to see it. And then afterward, I was like, that's the meanest thing I've ever done. She has five kids. I was, like, adding up how much that would cost. Or she has five people in her family. She has three kids. I'm like, I was basically like, just go burn $100.
At least. I mean, by the time we buy the tickets, it's like, I don't know, $70-something.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah. And your poor kids, if they dare ask for popcorn.
Oh, you know what? Lee is a softie, so. We go to the movies when it's really, really, really important to do so. And then we do it upright.
Are you guys going to see? I bet you're going to see Star Wars, the Solo.
Oh. Absolutely. We go and see all of the Avengers movies. It's funny because when I was growing up, I was never really into any of that stuff. I wasn't into comic books. I wasn't into superheroes. But I have come to absolutely love them and look forward to them because of my family, because of the family that I've created. And we get excited together and, I don't know. It's just turned into this really, really fun thing that was not part of my life before.
Mm-hmm. Well, who are these people we're talking about? There's five of you. So there's Amber. Do we want to say their names or just keep them like vague stick figures?
I think we can say their names. I'm good with that.
I want to say too, In case your family's listening. I felt the same way about them that I did with you when I met you.
Oh, when I so met, beautiful.
When
they
I met
too.
Your husband, I was like, I love him. And then I met your kids and I was like, I love them. I love them. My people. I don't know why. It was just a vibe. It was just a vibe.
And everybody else felt the same and was like, when's Joanna coming over again?
Yay.
When are we going to see Tanner again? Hey, can we save this golf ball for Tanner?
Yeah. Chloe gave Tanner, one of your daughters, gave Tanner a little ball. So that's instant friendship if you give Tanner. Mm-hmm.
Was it not orange also?
I don't remember. Tanner certainly could tell you, but he's out watching Nickelodeon right now. So, okay, so let's talk about the people. So they're not stick figures. Okay. Who are they?
So my husband is Lee, and we've been together for 18 years, and he's a hunk. And
he is a hunk.
Totally fun guy. And my eldest just turned 15. Her name is Magnolia June, but she goes by Maggie. And my middle gal is 11. Her name is Chloe Luna. And my little guy is Liam Gabriel. And we named Liam because it's a combination of our first names. Lee and Am. Liam.
Oh, that's so cute. That explains it, because Tanner got confused in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So I was telling him, it's like his dad, but with an M.
I see. I can see how that would be confusing.
Lee and Lee M. Mm. so we can remember. You never told me that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is unbelievably different to name a boy child than it is to name a girl child.
Oh, you got very witchy with your girls.
Yes. Unintentionally. I was not quite aware of my witchiness yet.
It's always there. I was just going to say, if you come to that point in your life, you can look back and be like, look what I named my kids. Magnolia.
Look what I named my imaginary friend when I was 3. His name was Magic Harry.
Whoa. And I got J.K. So Rowling. Mad. J.K. Rowling. Right?
And I got so mad because my mom opened the window one time and he flew out. And I never saw him again. I guess I didn't need his magic anymore. But my first friend, because all my friends were adults at that age, my first friend was somebody I made up. Who was magical?
Oh my gosh, Magic Harry!
Yeah.
What kind of stuff did he do before he flew out the window?
Well, he hung out with me a lot because I was alone a lot. I'm an only child, and there were no cousins or neighbor kids. It was just me and my imagination. So we hung out a lot, and I did a lot of talking to him and playing dolls with him, and he flew around, and he had sort of like the typical blue hat with stars on it, and he was like a short little gnomey kind of guy.
Oh my gosh. That's what I'm saying. I fall a little bit more in love with you every time. Every time we hang out.
Thank you,
dear. I just learn these things and I'm like, that's the cutest thing ever. Did your mom acknowledge him?
Yes.
Mm.
Uh-huh. She does not remember letting him out the window, though. She insists that that's not true, that she would never do that. That's what happened.
It's fascinating that he never came back.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that I outgrew him. He knew I didn't need him anymore.
No. Maybe he went to some other kid.
I hope so, because he was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I have to say something that is not related to this conversation at all that just popped into my head. Where's my notes? What did I say? Okay, so last week I was talking about, I'm just always saying I'm in love with this person or in love with this thing. I think I'm just a lover. I love love.
Yes.
I love
falling. I'm that way as well.
I just like falling in love with people and movies and stuff like that. And I was talking about Rod Rosenstein, which is the least, most unexpected person, I think. Like, He is not an artist. He's part of the Mueller investigation. It's very confusing. But I saw him talking, and I could just see his passion. Like, I saw his soul. Mm-hmm. I saw his inner child, because he got excited talking about his hero, Robert Jackson. And I was like, what's his name? And then I said, Robert Johnson on the podcast. And I realized after, I kept thinking about it, I was like, his name is not Robert Johnson. Why did I say that? And then it occurred to me, like, oh my God, Robert Johnson is like, we wouldn't even have rock and roll today if it wasn't for Robert Johnson. Because he wrote music. He was a singer-songwriter and a blues musician. And he wrote Crossroad. I went to the crossroad and got down on my knees, which is...
Right.
Every witch loves that. And I was like, how did I do that? I feel so bad.
And yet...
That I, like, jacked up his legacy by by thinking he was, like, an attorney general. And then... so I'm like, Robert Jackson. I need to give credit to both of these men because apparently they were both excellent men. So that Robert Johnson.
Yes, absolutely.
Robert Johnson is the blues singer, songwriter, and musician from America. Robert Jackson, I'm just going to read to you from Wikipedia because I don't know Robert Jackson. According to Wikipedia, he was an American attorney and judge who served as an associate justice of the United States Supreme Court. He had previously served as United States Solicitor General and United States Attorney General and is the only person to have ever held all three of these offices. That's pretty cool. That might be why he's Rod Rosenstein's hero.
That's why he looks up to him, yeah.
But this piece, I think, is the real thing that, like, sealed the deal for him. Jackson was also notable for his work as the chief United States prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials of Nazi war criminals following World War II.
There you go.
So I had to make that correction. I usually don't correct myself because almost every single episode I say something wildly inaccurate and I just let it go. I like get my words mixed up or I don't know, like names flip-flopped around. But in that case, I just felt like, no, these two great men deserve at least me to say their names correctly.
And everybody to know who they are.
Mm-hmm. So, also, or maybe you aren't. You're the sunshine lady, but I'm very happy that it's cloudy in LA.
It is gorgeous right now, and I'm very happy to not be sweating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do love the sun. I do not love sweating. It's a conundrum.
Yes.
It's a problem.
I have a small comfort range.
Indeed.
That is a product of domestication. Daniel Vitalis is very interesting when he talks about this. He calls us, I forget, something like Homo fragilis is like what we've become because we're so...
We have.
We just stay in these homes that are moderated the temperature, so it never dips below 65 or goes over 85, and so we can't handle, like, weather. He also does this awesome thing, or he used to, during his lectures and stuff, where he would talk about, like, to go in our natural environment, like in a forest, right, and survive, we would be dead in, like, a day. And he said,
in no time, girl.
And we would also look, like, crazy to everybody else there, to all the animals. We would have to travel through, like, astronauts, because we come through with, like, our super special waterproof boots and the giant pack on our head that's, like, tall, or on our back that's, like, taller than our head, and all our gear and equipment, and it's, like...
And the animals are like, you got all you need. What are you doing?
Yes. So, like, the irony is, like, we literally have... We've denatured ourselves.
We have. It's pretty crazy.
Yep.
I would like to... Not necessarily the whole rewilding thing, but I do feel like I need to go stick my feet in the dirt more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an awesome book called Earthing by Clinton Ober.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that book?
I haven't read it yet.
You can borrow mine.
Okay.
I don't like lending books, but I know where you live.
You know where I live.
So many books! Like, if you lend a book out, this is the rule if you're a book nerd. Never lend a book out that you care about getting back, ever. Just don't do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Don't do that. And I am both a perpetrator of this and a victim. I had the one, like, thing that comes to mind is not really my fault. I met this guy in my 20s, mid to late 20s, and I knew him for half a second. Half a second. He was a friend of a friend. And I don't know why I was at his apartment, but I was, and we were talking about woo-woo, new-agey stuff, and he's like, have you ever read this book? And it was Astrology for the Soul by Jan Spiller. And I was like, no. He's like, oh, you have to. He, like, pushed it on me, like people who love books do.
Yes, we do.
And I still, I never give it back to him, but it's really because I don't know that I ever saw him again, and it's maybe the most abused book that I have. It was a gift from the universe. I really think he was a book angel that came through my life, that I was meant to have this book. And people who have been listening to me for a long time totally know that I have talked about this book again and again and again, mm-hmm. and I recommend it. It's a mind-blowing book. It's about the nodes, which people talk about now, but back then, and I would say for like the first 10 to 15 years I owned that book, nobody that I talked to knew what the nodes were, the South and the North nodes, right, in astrology. And if you only knew that, it could be so instructive for your life. So,
wow.
Sorry, I don't normally preach at Amber like this, but I'm on the pod. I'm on my microphone, so I'm confused. I can't decide if I'm a friend or a podcaster right now.
You're doing all right. You're doing good. I'm right here with you.
Okay. How's your tarot journey going?
Well, I am both scaling it back a bit.
Already?
And loving it more. What I mean is, I think that I was trying to jam so much information into myself and trying to sort of put this pressure on myself to sort of catch up to people who have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Wait, when did you start? Let's tell people when you started so they have some context here.
Okay. So the first time I had a deck was 97 or 98, given to me by someone who was a witch, and I had never met anyone who used that moniker. And she said, I think that you need to have these. And I was obsessed with playing with them. As you know, I could not remember what deck this was. Mm. I had to do all of this internet hunting of the backs of cards to figure out that it was the Robin Wood tarot. And so,
yes, you thought it was the Rider-Waite for a long time. Mm-hmm, and then you thought mm-hmm. it was something like the Golden Rider-Waite, or
I could not figure it out. It was driving me crazy. So I finally figured it out.
So so that's now. Like, you went hunting back for this original mm-hmm, deck. Why did you get mm-hmm. rid of the first one?
So initially, I was in love with trying to learn how to read it. I had never even really, aside from, you know, a fortune teller in a movie, I had never been exposed to tarot. So I kind of became obsessed with reading it, and I took the little white book and copied it onto notebook paper word for word to try to memorize it. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I read for someone else, it was a girlfriend of mine. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And she's like, you're making me cry right now because this is so true and where I am. And I haven't seen you in ages. You don't know any of this stuff. And so I was really, really in love with it. Because I grew up evangelical and because I still had a bunch of just things hanging on in my mind, I got really weird and I threw them away, mm-hmm. which I know is like, oh my God.
No, I've done things like that. I threw a Ouija board away for similar reasons.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to figure out when I got reinterested in it.
Not too long ago. I mean, like, you got passionate about it maybe in the fall or at the end of mm-hmm. last summer, was something like mm-hmm. that.
But I got reinterested in it maybe 3 years ago. And I started watching all kinds of videos and toying with the idea of getting another deck. And And then Joanna bought me my first second deck. My first deck in this time of my life, for my birthday.
The Wild Unknown.
And it is so beautiful. And I love it so much. And I decided that I was going to put a cap on how many decks I bought initially. I have a rule. I can't buy any more decks until I can read without looking at a book.
We'll see how long that lasts.
So far, so good. Okay. I do look at decks. I look at them.
Yeah.
I drool over them.
Yeah.
And then I say, remember your rule, lady. Who is the queen of this situation? I am. I am not buying any more decks until I can read without looking at the book. And then I click away from the beautiful tarot deck.
I just want to say this to you and to all people who are beginning a tarot journey. I am a huge fan of studying the book and learning from the book, and I highly recommend The Companion Guide to the Tarot Illuminati for the 10 millionth time for doing
and
that.
And I have a copy because of you.
Oh my god. So I highly recommend that, but I will say that you could learn how to read it without the book in an afternoon. Because it's an intuitive thing, and you can, the book is like Dumbo's feather. If you just, like, hide the book in the closet and force yourself to read without it, like, you'll have amazing readings, like the one you gave your friend back in the day.
Right. I wish that I would have continued at that point, because I didn't have any frame of reference. I didn't have any exposure. And so I feel like I was going more on intuition than I am now. So at first I was, like I said, I was trying to jam all of this information into my brain. And I just decided that I was going to allow myself the space to go slower. And so I pull a card a day if I get to it. And I read about four different books to compare and contrast. And I also, there's a website that I look at, and I'm terrible because I can't remember the name of it right now, but,
Biddy
and
Tarot?
It might be. No, it's Little Red.
You're in actually. Shauna Hill's group, Tarot Nerds on Facebook.
Yes, I am. And so what I do is I sort of look at all of this reference material and get a gist of what others are saying about the card. And it's sometimes very, very different. And I take that not with a grain of salt, but, you know, I also put my own feelings into it. And I have a binder and have these little teeny tiny tarot cards that I paste onto a piece of notebook paper, and then I write my own interpretation based on what I'm seeing in the card, what I feel from the card, and the things that I've picked up from what I'm reading that makes the most sense to me based on what the card looks like to me and feels to me. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm going very slow, and I am trying not to Aries my way through it, is what I'm saying.
You're Virgoing your way through it with the binder and all that. I mean, you're like a nerd. You're a nerd.
I'm nerding out, and I'm allowing myself to be the nerd that I am. I am the queen nerd. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Well, what's I almost bought a tarot deck a couple days ago. I have my one deck. I don't know why that. It's just magical for me. I get amazing readings with it. I have other decks that I really love. One that I paid so much money for, I don't like to use it. I just like to look at it. And just be like, aren't you special? Oh, you're so pretty.
You are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't go out of order.
Yeah, and so somebody... This is how it happens. This is why tarot readers have crazy numbers of tarot decks. Somebody posts a picture online of a beautiful card, and before you know it, you're like, PayPal, ding! And somebody posted a picture on Twitter it always comes back to Twitter with me.
Right.
And
right.
I asked what deck is that, and they said Pagan Otherworld or Pagan.
Oh my God, that's on my list.
Pagan Overworld. Is it over or other?
It is Pagan Otherworlds, okay. I believe.
Okay, that deck.
And it is gorgeous.
It's $50. It's $50, and which I think is a lot for a tarot deck. Not that mm-hmm. I won't pay that, but so once I saw it was $50. I was like, let us go back and inspect these cards and make sure we really, really want them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I didn't get them, I was all like hovering over the buy it now button because the cards are beautiful, but I like.
They're packaged beautiful too.
I like. Beautifully, but rather. I like people.
Mm-hmm.
And the minor arcana has no people.
Yeah, and, I feel you on that
and
one.
And that is the traditional way. That is the mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. actually how it's supposed to be. But I'm a people person. I even had issues with the Wildwood Tarot. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're familiar with that, but it's all
I am.
It's mostly animals, but I love the people. I'm definitely a people person when it comes to tarot. Like I just mm-hmm. need people faces. I don't know why. It could be a man. It could be a woman. They could be black. They could be fat. They could be skinny. I just need there to be a person.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I need to have something, somebody that I am relating to
mm-hmm.
in the card.
I think for me, it's cinematic. I think I have such okay. a movie brain.
Yeah, that's the way your brain works.
Yeah, I look, and that's why I love my favorite deck is the Tarot Illuminati, and it looks like Game of Thrones. It looks mm-hmm. like a movie or HBO TV show or something.
It does.
So my
some of them look like videos to me, like MTV style old school videos. Some of them.
The second deck they came out with that we were looking at with Lee and
mm-hmm.
and Eric and
wasn't
and
that Marla. The one that had the hermit? And I was like, oh, that's so Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I think, no, the Hermit is Led Zeppelin in the Terra Illuminati. So now everybody go okay. look up Google Terra Illuminati and the Hermit card. You can give us feedback on that.
Do you sometimes find that somebody will put up a picture of a deck and you're like, oh my God, I have to go look up that deck.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go and you look up the deck and there is one card that you're like, oh, that doesn't feel like that card to me. Or that's not how that's supposed to look. And then it ruins the entire deck for you.
Every deck has that card to me. I'm not kidding. Even mine.
Really?
I pulled the card today. That is the deal breaking card for the Terra Illuminati for me. And it's the Hierophant. Because
oh, really?
The Hierophant is this, like, papal popey kind of looking Catholic dude with, like, the whole big costume on. And then in front of him are two monks bowing.
Uh-huh.
And he has, like, a very unfriendly look on his face. So uh-huh. in addition to being like, hello, this is the religious establishment that is controlling everything and destroying the environment and hiding scandals and blah, blah, like that's...
Here is the patriarchy. In the
yes,
card.
This is how I feel yeah. when I look at it. And he looks mad. And
yeah. He's really, really smug about it.
Yeah. It's just like, can I please, can you make me an alternative to this card that exactly fits this deck, please.
Yeah. And so it is that's just the card that you do not like?
Yes.
Or, okay. So my thing is that I will look at a deck and it's not necessarily a specific card. I will just see a card and go, oh, I don't really like that one. And then it'll ruin the whole bunch for me. I don't like the way it looks, or I don't like the way it feels, or does it seem like it's giving me like the Queen of Wands vibe or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it ruins the entire deck for me.
So you have a perfect tarot deck? Right. You're
well,
saying?
I had to scale it back, like I said, and I am being nerdy, scholarly. I am only using Rider-Waite right now.
Oh, that's very classic. That's a good deck, though, for you know, learning, I think, and doing what
I
you're
think
doing.
So, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
I,
so, do you, are, I'm wondering, you're saying, I need to, is my phone ringing? It can't be. My ringer's off. Okay. Must be a neighbor. You're saying you won't buy a deck if there's a card that you don't like because it ruins the deck for you. So I'm saying the decks that you own right now are perfect. There's no card in there that ruins it for you that you don't like. Like the ones you own are perfect. 78 card. Everything is happy, good, beautiful.
No, I think I made an exception for the Dame Darcy one because I wanted it so badly because I love her art.
That's a but great there are a one couple to of collect.
It is so fun and cute. And I know that there's a little bit of controversy behind it because it's kind of a copy of another deck, but, there's do you know about this?
No.
Okay. So there's a mermaid deck. I think it's Low Scarabeo or something. And, it looks like maybe she copied it directly from that deck.
What?
Like, so I'm not even kidding. And there's a whole thing about, like, people blogged about it online and stuff and, like, made a big, huge deal out of it. And I was just reading about it recently. And so I went to look at the comparisons and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess she kind of did do that.
How weird. God, yeah, so many scandals on the internet. I can't take all the internet scandals.
Seriously, step away from the internet, people. Except what are we doing right now? We're on the internet.
Yeah, that's why I worry about the internet scandals. I'm like, I'm next. What is it? What are they going to find out? I sleep with a stuffed hippo named Hank.
Well, now you've told everybody, so there's no scandal.
That's what I'm saying. You have to try to get out in front of that shit.
Be up front.
Mm-hmm. The front butt. Lead with your front butt.
Lead with it.
Okay, I have to change the subject because you're such a hair person.
Okay.
And this does involve another witch, vaguely, for a moment. Diana Chin, Diana's a really cool witch that everybody should know. And you might know if you're, like, really in the witchy online people that socialize together community, whatever you want to call that. But you can look her up on Twitter if you're like me and you like Twitter. Diana Chin tweeted today. She says, she tweets every day, but this tweet rocked my world. She said, I don't even know what the whole tweet means, which is hilarious because I parted with $40 shortly thereafter. She said, so I discovered rose gold deep hair treatment for brunettes from O Veritone Color, and I nabbed it ASAP, planning to do my hair just in time for the changes. I don't know what the changes are. And I am not a brunette, but when I saw rose gold deep hair treatment, I was like, what is that? What is that?
I did that in the shower today, actually.
Is it overtone color?
It is overtone, and there's two different kinds. You can get one in a bottle that's kind of for every day, and then there's one that's a mask.
A deep conditioning, yes.
Yes, and it's in a tub, and it's $25 of magic. I absolutely love it. I recommend it for people who want to use fun color but are fickle, like me.
Yay! Oh, my God.
See, my hair is pink right now, girl.
It is. I've had some pink hair dye since, like, temporary Manic Panic. I've had it since, gee whiz, 2011, I think, is when I got it. And I really like my hair. Do I complain about my skin every time I see you? I feel like I do.
Yes.
But I love my hair. My hair is...
Because, like, your hair is gorgeous.
And it's me! It just feels like me. And
yes.
And it's always my friend. I've never...
It doesn't let you down.
No. I just... Even when it's just all stringy and greasy and braided, I just still love it. I don't know why.
We were at the doctor the other day, and Liam goes, hey, is that Joanna? Because it was someone from behind with gorgeous long blonde hair.
Thank you. My kid likes to tell me my mom looks like Barbie. My mom looks like Barbie. Anyway, so I like chickened out because my hair absorbs color, like And then it never lets it go. I want it to be Poochie. Do you know what Poochie is? In the 80s, there was a dog named Poochie. Poochie.
Yes, I had stationery, girl.
Poochie for girls. So I dressed up as a punk rock. I wanted to be a punk rock girl, so I ratted my hair, and it turned into this big, like, ratted ponytail on top of my head that I spray-painted pink, and then I decided I looked like Poochie, so I was telling everybody I was Poochie, and this was in, like, fifth or sixth grade, and then it just wouldn't leave my head. I had pink hair for so long after, and this was not at a time when having pink hair was cool at elementary school.
Right. It was weird.
It was what punkers did. We called them punkers, and they were like people in movies. We didn't see these people in real life. And so I was upset. Or anytime my hair turned green, like from swimming.
From the swimming pool. Yeah.
It just stayed forever. So I have like hair dye intrepidation. I don't know. So this stuff is like, it's a hair conditioning treatment. So it doesn't like jack your hair up, right?
That's right.
And then it washes out over so many washes.
Yes. Of course, if your hair is bleached, the color absorbs more and it lasts longer. excuse-moi. But I really, really love it because it fades beautifully. It is not like Manic Panic where it's in your towel every time you wash your hair. And my hair is softer after I use it, and it's really fun.
That's what they claim. I was like reading all their facts, and mm-hmm.
It's actually true.
It says this is what they say. Overtones. Overtone is the name of the company. I don't know why the V is capitalized, but it is.
I don't know.
Okay, so this is what they say. The Overtone conditioners are pigmented. That's how they deposit color. But that mm-hmm. is where the similarity with dye stops. Overtone contains, this is everybody hippie witchy-ish here will like this. It contains no harmful chemicals, no peroxide, no ammonia, no heavy alcohols, and nothing that will dry out or damage your hair, even if you leave it on for hours every day. We are all about healing. We're all about healing and coloring at the same time. So your hair can stay bright, healthy, and low maintenance. Doesn't that just sell it? That's why I gave them my money. And it came out to be...
Oh, you bought some?
Yeah. And it was a lot because I paid shipping. Because I don't know. It was just a very impulsive thing. And then when it was over, after I had like the... I don't know. It felt like it happened to me. I don't know. And when it was over, after I hit buy it now, this little window pops up that says, share the love. Give friends $10 off their first order and you'll get $10 when they make a purchase. Offer valid only for new customers with minimum purchase of $30. Offer cannot be combined with other offers. And I'm like, well, crap, I didn't get a coupon. Like, I was like... was my first thought. My second thought was I should put this on Twitter. And then my third thought was like, hell no, I'm sharing this on my podcast. So I literally am going to share my affiliate link for Overtones. I've never even used it. It might make all the hair fall out of your head. This can't be a real endorsement.
It does not. I just did, like, I literally just did it 2 hours ago.
Well, if people are listening and they want their hair to be rose gold or yellow or bright pink or purple or green or blue.
Or teal.
All the colors. And they want to save $10, like, use my link, dude.
Use it. Get you some.
Yes.
The other cool thing that they do is if you have a special fashion color that you have done to your head, maybe by your hairstylist or you mix colors or whatever, they will look at what you have and tell you which colors you should get in order to maintain that color that you have.
Okay, here's what I want to say to you, Amber.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you not like in the marketing business or sales or have a podcast or a like you say things and I'm like, I feel like I have to tell them she is not a paid advertiser. She did not come on here to promote Overtone Hair. I didn't even know she knew what it was. I thought I was going to tell her something new. I thought I was going to say something
new. Not about hair. Not ever.
I know. I know you love hair. I thought it was something new. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But also, like, how many times have I stopped you in the middle of a conversation and been like, why don't you start a YouTube channel? You should have a podcast. This is my secret motivation in having you on here. Either A, I'm going to score a co-host maybe every once in a while. That would be fun.
So fun.
Or B, the world will get Amber something because you're like, just why? Well, you're like this little hidden gem in the hills of Glendale.
Thank you, my dear. It is coming. It is brewing in my mind.
What? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Some sort of channel situation.
A YouTube channel situation?
Yes, ma'am.
That would be so fun.
I would like to do that. And I have some ideas about how I want to go about it, what I want it to look like. And yeah, it's a coming.
Are your kids going to be humiliated?
No, they already think I'm crazy.
I bet they don't. I bet they think you're cool. You know if you have a cool mom. I feel like kids know. Like, you're mean to your mom. I'm not saying that doesn't make you nice. Like, we're right. Jerks to our mom for a certain period of time. For some of us, it lasts a really, really, really long time.
Show does.
For some of us, it's a lifetime's work. But I feel like deep down inside, you know, like, I have a cool mom. Like, you know.
I think my kids do, but they also are very like, oh, that's such a mom thing.
That just happened to you. Why? I forget. You told me that. Somebody said that to you about something. I think, was it your mug? Was it the mug I bought you?
Oh, yes, it was. The mug you were just talking about. I showed it to my eldest, again, who's 15, and she says, oh, that's totally a mom cup.
Oh my gosh. I have a bone to pick with Maggie on public, on a public podcast. This is going on iTunes, Maggie, so you better listen up, girl.
I know what this is about.
I know you do. I'm a grudge holder. Okay, so after I read Twilight, I was like, this young adult book thing is very interesting. It's very entertaining, and it's so different. Like, it's just a relief. It's just about having fun, and I am enjoying this. So I heard somebody had a YouTube channel, a grown woman, maybe she was in her mid-20s at that point, and she had read the Sweep series of books, which is about witches. And I will buy almost any piece of fiction if you say it's about witches. I'll probably buy it. And it's way worse than tarot cards, for sure. Like, I will for sure buy it if you say there are witches in this book. And,
I am totally with you on
so
that
I
one.
Got the Sweep series, and it gets a lot of criticism, but what I gather is the book was doled out as, originally, as, some kind of online series, because there's pieces in as you're reading through the book series where she's thanking her fans for, like, encouraging her to keep putting the stories together. So it seemed like that to me. And I saw what everybody criticized. I can see it was Stephanie Meyer, too. Like, this is not literature, people, okay? It's
calmate.
It's just for fun. It's for fun. It's entertainment. And some of us enjoy it, Maggie. And so I have gotten rid of hundreds of books in the last, whatever, since I think 2015. And I had the whole series sitting there. And we went to the Pagan Pride Festival last year. And I'm like, I'm going to bring this. And I thought Chloe would want it, her younger daughter. And come to find out, when I showed it to them, Maggie and Chloe wanted it, and Maggie's bigger, and she won. And so she got the books. And then Amber informed me that when she went to go read the books, she said they were so basic and rejected them. And I personally felt rejected. Did she, your daughter, call me a basic witch?
I don't know if she did overtly, but she is very opinionated. She always has been. I had to stop dressing her when she was two because it was not a fight I was ever going to win.
That's awesome.
And she took a couple of looks at the books and was like, it's just like every other story. It has to be all about love. And like, that's not what I want.
That's what I want.
What do you want, girl? She's all, I don't know, but it's boring.
She's one of those girls. Like, this generation is now growing up with women kicking ass. I grew up on Disney Cinderella. I want to read about love stuff, okay? Leave me alone. And then, like, these new generations are like, I can be Wonder Woman, president of the universe, and I want to go on an adventure. Like, I really think...
That is exactly what she told me. I want to go on an adventure. I do not want to deal with this love.
Yeah. That is so cool. That's where how I feel in my life.
right
and I did, like, I didn't get to that till I was coming up on my 40s, so props to you, Maggie, and all the young women of the world who are like, why am I spending all this time in this amazing jungle obsessing over this dude when I could be in the caves looking for treasure?
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Do you watch Saturday Night Live?
I don't.
Did you see anything after Saturday Night Live in which Donald Glover hosted and Childish Gambino released This Is America?
I did watch some of the video. I have not been able to finish it. Sometimes when you're a mother of three, you start things and don't get to finish them. Took me forever to finish Beyonce's Lemonade because I just kept getting interrupted. So no, I haven't watched the whole thing, but.
Oh, I thought that, I thought you were referencing the violence, 'cause it like has shocking violence in it.
It does, but I see why and I get what he's saying, and I think it's an important thing to say. But can I just say that, all of that aside, I love his face. I love the sound of his voice, and his face is just too handsome.
I love here's what I love. You love his face. It's like everybody love on Donald Glover Week in America, for sure.
Right?
But I just love him as an artist. I was like, oh my God. I watched the first time I saw the video for This Is America, I watched it literally at least 15 times. I just got into this loop. It was over. And I had to do it with the video. Like you have to move. You cannot just sit there. Mm-hmm. And I've watched him. I don't know what it is. It's what's fascinating. People, this is, art is meant to be provocative. That's what art does. It's supposed to provoke a feeling in you. If the feeling is negative, if you've been triggered, as uncomfortable as that is, the art did its job. And so it's fascinating that people get upset about it, because I just want to be like, it's working. Look at that. And to me, that's like a little miracle as a creative person when you actually get an emotional
reaction. It is a piece of magic.
Yes. And so what's so brilliant about that song in particular, but all like lots and lots of his work, he has somehow managed to achieve this, is it's so pleasurable and hooky on your brain, like before the message even gets layered in there. And I think I'm very passionate about propaganda. I'm always happy to talk about propaganda because it's one of my favorite subjects, because it's evil. And people don't know that the way their minds are being manipulated in their emotions. And to me, the antidote to that is artists, because artists,
real artists, yes,
real, I mean, they use all of those tools in a creative way to hopefully put a, this is dangerous. That's what's exciting about it. It's magic. It's witchcraft. It's dangerous, because they end up putting together undeniably intoxicating hooks that you're like, absolutely, I am moving my butt and I cannot help it and I don't know why, but I'm making the pasta and I'm like, you can't help it. It's like primal. You it's can't. Animal. And then they sneak their message in.
Mm-hmm. And it's
with the amazing. Lyrics. With the lyrics, yeah. And love so, yeah, that's like power. There's so much power in that, like playing around with people's emotions and stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope more of the good guys have the power than not, but it comes all back to the superheroes.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
I have been a music nerd my entire life.
Yes.
And I love when something draws me in like that, when something, like you said, get its hooks in your brain and doesn't let go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of like what Saturn's Day Evening Post is made up of. Oh my God, I'm in love with this new thing. Whatever. And I want that feeling. It's like my drug. Like what's yes. the next thing yes. going to be? And it's never not exciting. I always get like a humongous kick out of whatever my latest discovery is.
Even and if I want to tell everybody about it.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's me. Yeah. Well, I'm going to cut us off right now because I know you have to go to a party. And
I do.
This is what I want to ask everybody. Okay. If you liked this and you like Amber, let's bug the crap out of her to come back on the show. Tell me. tell me. And I'll tell her. I'll see if I can get her back. And
I can't wait to see what happens with that.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for having me. Bye. I have a question.
Yes.
If I have my car on, will you be able to hear it?
Your car?
Mm-hmm. Hang on 1 second. Let me turn it on and you tell me if you can hear it.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Wait till all the sounds stop. Because I'm sure you can hear those.
I might have to add that to the end, like edit that in just for the fun of it. That's just for the fun of it. Okay, yeah, that's
okay.
That sounds fine.
Is that okay?
Yes. You're going to drive and talk or you're going to park and talk?
Well, I'm parked right now and it just depends on like how long we talk. I know we can talk a super long time.
Okay.
And
remember, so, the juice is dying on my computer, so it won't be a super long time.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just watching my time.
All righty. You got a party to get to. Okay.
I'm keen to not be there the second it starts. It's totally fine.
Okay. The fashionably late witch.
And yes, and Lee is on time. He's probably already there with the kids, so we're good.
You have a representative.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. The only thing I hear that's problematic, I don't know what it is. It could have been like a phone cord or a seatbelt or
this?
That, yeah, whatever that is.
That's my necklace. I'm going to put it inside my shirt.
It will pick up things like that.
Okay.
Okay, and this is not...
How about now? Can you hear it?
Nope, and this is not fancy. If you're making a bunch of noise, I can just tell you.
Super.
This is not Charlie Rose. Okay. All right, here we go, lady.
Okay. All right.